shepherd, he will tend his flock and with his arm keep them together. Will the congregation please stand? Please be seated. Good morning. Welcome. A warm welcome to everyone this morning, but a particularly warm welcome to you if you're visiting us here at St. Ninian's. It's lovely to have you amongst us for worship this morning. In particular, I'd like to welcome Olivia this morning. Olivia is here looking lovely in her baptismal gown for her baptism. Welcome to you, Olivia. It's lovely to see you. That's a lovely smile. And you've got your lovely blue eyes. Hello, good morning. Welcome to you. You're here for your baptism, and you're here with, you've brought your sister along, Ella. Hello, Ella. Ella, you were baptized here 3 years ago. It's lovely to see you, and you've both brought your parents with you, Linda and Daniel. It's lovely to see you, as well as your family and friends, and you're all very welcome. If you have children with you, we have a Sunday school later on in the service. To get to the Sunday school, if you're in secondary, I don't think any of you are, but you might be, then you go out this door and turn left. If you're in primary, you go out this door and turn left. And if you're not even that far, not that old, you go out this door and turn right, and you'll find the creche down at the end of the corridor. So creche is out this door and turn right. Primary Sunday school at this door and turn left. Secondary Sunday school out this door and turn left. And if you're an adult, you have to stay here and listen to me. Lucky you. After the service, we have tea and coffee in our hall. To get to the hall, you go out this door and turn right, follow the queue right to the hall, make yourself known to those who are through there, and make yourself known to me after the service. Tea and coffee, juice and biscuits through in the hall. You should have an order of service, and in the order of service, there are some intimations. I'm going to draw your attention to a couple of these. The minister is running a new members class. If you would like to join St. Ninian's, then let me know. I'm doing that in June. You'll see a notice about that there. And you'll also see a notice about next week's service. Christian Aid Week starts next Sunday. So next Sunday, it's Christian Aid service where we think about those in the world who are amongst the world's poorest people next Sunday. So Christian Aid, have a look at the notice there and the Christian Aid Week following. Otherwise, these are all the notices that I have. So at all of St. Ninian's services, we begin by turning to each other and welcoming each other with words of Jesus Christ. Peace be with you. We come from scattered lives to this sanctuary to seek our unity in the Spirit, to seek the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, to seek peace in God our Creator. God's people have gathered, let us worship God together. We sing hymn number 462, The King of Love
my shepherd is. Hymn 462. Please be seated. Let us now, in prayer, express our joy for life in all its fullness, and let us gracefully confess before God and each other what we have done wrong. Let us pray. Gracious God, this morning we join together to worship you as a congregation of your church on earth, a part of the risen body of Jesus Christ. Here in your presence, we take time out of our busy lives with its many demands and pressures to seek you, to listen to your word, and to be shepherded by it, so that we may live responsible lives full of purpose and meaning. We recognize you as a generous God and worship you, saying thank you for our happiness, our celebrations, and the good things that we experience in life. We recognize you as a loving God and worship you by talking about our needs and the needs of the world. We are grateful for all that we have, but mindful that many do not have enough. We pray that this congregation of the risen Christ gathered here this morning will inspire us with a holiness of spirit to raise our voices in celebration when we sing, to bow our heads in humbleness when we pray, and to open our ears for your word when we read, listen, think, and meditate. As we do so, we acknowledge you as a merciful God and worship you by saying sorry for the things that we have done wrong this week, which have hurt you, other people, your creation, and ourselves. We confess that there have been times when we have been too fearful or doubting to love and serve you, and we have wandered from your ways. We have been careless of your world, upsetting the balance of nature by talking of our concern for your creation, but failing to match our words with action. We have been careless of your people, upsetting the feelings of others by talking about our love for our neighbors, but failing to try to understand how they might see and experience the world differently from us. God of mercy, remind us that by confessing what we have done wrong, we acknowledge the importance of justice. We discover the forgiving power of mercy, and we understand the danger of seeking revenge. Help us to be shepherded in life by your risen Son, Jesus Christ, that we may live new lives in your world. In the name of the same Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, who taught us when we pray to say together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Our reader this morning is Ian Kirkpatrick.
Both readings today are from the New Testament. The first is from the Gospel according to John, chapter 10, verses 22 to 30. This may be found at page 883 in the Pew Bibles. Page 883, chapter 10, verses 22 to 30. It was winter, and the festival of dedication was being held in Jerusalem. Jesus was walking in the temple precincts in Solomon's portico. The Judeans gathered round him and asked, How long must you keep us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, say so plainly. I have told you, said Jesus, but you do not believe. My deeds done in my Father's name are my credentials. But because you are not sheep of my flock, you do not believe. My own sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one shall snatch them from my care. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one can snatch them out of the Father's care. My Father and I are one. Amen.
Oh no. Are ready? This is for the children. Okay. All right. I'm going to switch this off.
This is for any children here this morning. Are there any children here this morning? I think there are.
Is that working now? Is that better? Okay. Any children? Yes, you're a child. Hello. Nice to meet you. Good. You can help me answer a question. I was thinking, how do we stick things together? What do we use to stick things together? Any ideas? Have you ever stuck things together? Yes. Glue. That's good. glue's, I was trying to find some glue this morning that I could bring and say, here's some glue. Anything else that we use to stick things together? Any other ideas? Here, yes, Thomas, shout it out. Tape, yeah, I've got some, I found some sellotape in the house. We could use that to stick things together. Yes, here's some sellotape, some glue, anything else? Anything else? Is that it? Is that what we all use? Yes, Thomas, you've got an idea? No? No? Oh, string. Ta-da, the clue is in my hand. You just have to look at me. String. That's another one. Glue, sellotape, string. Any other ideas of what you might... Thomas has got another one. Yes, Thomas. Staples. Ah, that's good. Never thought of that. Could have bought my stapler. Yes. Yes, Thomas, you got another one? No. Anything else? What about this? This is kind of clip here. You could stick things together. Yes. Okay, I didn't hear that. What was that? That's right. Yes. So you put a piece of paper or something in that, stick that together. Easy. Okay. That was easy. What about people? How do we stick people together? Well, maybe you use glue, but I'm thinking of something different from glue and sellotape to stick people together. What do you use to stick people together? What do you stick people together? Maybe in your family. Your parents go, oh, no, what's going to happen? Or at school, or in church, or in the community. What holds people together? What sticks people? What holds people together? Okay, I've got some exact. So something like, I think something like history. So when we have shared experiences of the past, maybe we went on holiday together, and we can all go, oh yeah, maybe we all went on holiday together, and we all played on the beach, and we buried so and so, did whatever you do on the beach. Don't bury people, whatever you do. You know what I mean. So history, you know, we have that shared experience. Or geography, where we live holds us together. All of us live in Christophen, but a good number of us live in Christophen. That holds us together as a community. Or maybe where we all go to school. Maybe all go to Christophen Primary School. If there's a group of people, they all held together, all do the same school. What about blood? Our blood relationships, if we're related to each other, that holds us together, yeah? Spirit. I have two friends, I have more than two friends, but I have two friends, and the three of us enjoy drinking whiskey, and that holds us together. It does, in all sorts of funny ways. And so, but there's another way, the best way. What do you think the best way of holding people together is? Love, who said that? Who gets the gold star, Norma? Well done this morning. Love holds us together. Love is the strongest glue people have. And if we love each other, then we're bound together as a community, or as a school, or as a church, as a family. Love is the thing that holds us together. And we're going to do a practical example of that this morning. We are going to baptize Olivia. And when we baptize Olivia, we are binding her together in a family and with friends and a community and a church. And the way we do it is by telling her and reminding us that Olivia, although she's just a wee baby, is loved by her family, by her sister, by her friends, by her community, by her church. And when you feel loved, you feel valued and believed in, you feel part of something, you feel included, you feel bound together by other people. So in our baptism this morning, we're telling Olivia that we love her, and we're reminding ourselves that we are held together in that love, and that we are held together in God's love, because we're telling Olivia that God loves her no matter what happens in our life. God loves her, and she is part of this world, and she is part of our community. Let us pray. Loving God, you hold us together in community. You hold us together as a church. Your love binds us together. Show us your love in Jesus Christ this morning so that we can feel connected to you and to one another through love. In the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We're going to sing our baptismal hymn. It is hymn number 636, and it is, I should know this, we sing it so often, Baptized in Water, hymn 636.
Please be seated. Jesus himself said, "Full authority in heaven and on earth has been committed to me. Go, therefore, to all nations and make them my disciples. Baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And teach them to observe all that I have commanded you. I will be with you always to the end of time." When Jesus was baptized in the waters of the Jordan, the Spirit of God came upon him. His baptism was completed through his dying and rising again. Our baptism is the sign of dying to sin and rising to new life in Jesus Christ. It is Christ himself who baptizes us. By the Spirit of Pentecost, he makes us members of his body, the church, and calls us to share his ministry in the world. By water and the Holy Spirit, God claims us as his own, washes us from sin, and sets us free from the power of death. In this sacrament, the love of God is offered to each one of us. Though we cannot understand or explain it, we are called to accept that love with the openness and trust of a child. In baptism, Olivia is assured of the love that God has for her and that we have for her, and the sign and the seal of the Holy Spirit is placed upon her.
And Daniel, in presenting Olivia for baptism, desiring that she may be grafted into Christ as a member of his body, the church, do you receive the teaching of the Christian faith? Let us all affirm our faith by saying together the confession of faith, which is in the order of service. We believe in God, who has created and is creating, who has come in the true man Jesus to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by his Spirit. We trust him. He calls us to be his church, to celebrate his presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus crucified and risen, our judge and our hope, in life, in death, in life beyond death. God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen. Let us pray. We thank you, gracious God, for your gifts of water and the Holy Spirit. Send your Holy Spirit upon us and upon this water, that Olivia, being buried with Christ in baptism, may rise with him to newness of life, and being born anew of water and the Holy Spirit, may remain forever in the number of your faithful children, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Now, Olivia, I'm going to take you, but I'm going to switch myself off, my connection. Congregation in the order of service. You who are gathered here represent the whole church, the Church Catholic. Word and sacrament bring you the joy of Christ's presence in your midst. They also bring you responsibilities as Christ's people in this place. Do you welcome Olivia, and do you renew your commitment with God's help to live before all God's children in a kindly and a Christian way,
and to share with them the knowledge and the love of Christ. Let us pray. God of love, we rejoice again to receive your grace in word and sacrament. We have heard your call and are made new by your Spirit. Guide and guard Olivia all her days. May your love hold her, your truth guide her, your joy delight her. Bless her parents, Linda and Daniel, that she may grow up in a secure and a happy home. Give to her family, laughter, peace, and the love that endures all things. God of grace, in whose church there is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, help us to acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to profess with our whole lives the one true faith, and to live in love and unity with all who are baptized in his name. Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns and is worshipped and glorified with you, Father, and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever. Amen. We sing our baptismal blessing, after which the children leave for Sunday school or for the first pledge. It's the Lord bless you and keep you, hymn 79. Please be seated.
The second reading is from the Revelation of John, chapter 7, verses 9 to 17, page 1025 in the Pew Bibles. Page 1025, chapter 7, verses 9 to 17. After this, I looked and saw a vast throng, which no one could count, from every nation, of all tribes, peoples, and languages, standing in front of the throne and before the Lamb. They were robed in white, and had palms in their hands. And they shouted together, "Victory to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." And all the angels stood round the throne and the elders and the four living creatures. And they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, crying, "Amen. Praise and glory and wisdom, thanksgiving and honor, power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen." Then one of the elders turned to me and said, "These men that are robed in white, who are they and from where do they come?" But I answered, "My Lord, you know, not I." Then he said to me, "These are the men who have passed through the great ordeal. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. That is why they stand before the throne of God and minister to him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will dwell with them. They shall never again feel hunger or thirst. The sun shall not beat down on them, nor any scorching heat, because the Lamb who is at the heart of the throne will be their shepherd and will guide them to the springs of the water of life, and God will wipe all tears from their eyes." Amen.
Let us pray. Almighty God, your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ, is the light of the world. May your people, illuminated by your word, shine with gradients of his glory, that his love may be known in the world, as he lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. I can see it right now, right in front of me, right there, filling my whole vision, big and dusty red and round, the planet Mars. It was unforgettable. I was about 9 years old when I saw the planet Mars for the first time. Come to think, it might be the only time. My father had bought a telescope, And one evening, set it up in our spare bedroom in our house, and we each took turns to look through the telescope. You might think that the memory has stayed with me all this time because seeing Mars through a telescope when you're 9 years old is a mesmerizing and memorable experience, and it was. But that's not why I remember that evening so vividly. I was the last of the four of us to look through the telescope that night. My father went first, of course, but frustrated, he saw nothing but the black sky. Then my mother had a go, she looked, and she also saw nothing. My brother was next. He too was disappointed. A feeling of ennui had already set in by the time the telescope was passed to me. As I too scanned the night sky, seeing nothing, I was about to give up, when suddenly, and for just a moment, perhaps no more than a couple of seconds, Mars appeared before my eye, filling the telescope. Can you imagine how excited I was? But, and here's why I remember this so well, despite my excitement and my joy, jumping around as I was, saying that I had just seen a big red planet, no one in my family believed me. To this day, it is not the vision of the planet that is imprinted in my brain. It is that feeling of not being believed that's etched in my heart. I have told you, said Jesus, but you do not believe. That is what we read Jesus saying this morning in our gospel reading, when the people of Judea asked him, how long must you keep us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, say so plainly. I have told you, said Jesus, but you do not believe. I know how he must have felt, that sense of frustration at not being believed and being unable to do anything about it. There are a few feelings like it when you're telling the truth, but no one believes you. That is not to say that you should always believe everything that children or charismatic religious preachers tell you. When I took my 9-year-old out of school at break time last Friday morning, because we were going away for a long weekend, all the other kids were asking me, is Aidan really going to Mars for his holiday? I laughed too at their credulity, but one boy sidled up to me and whispered, but seriously, is Aidan really going to Mars? As his P1 teacher told the parents of his class on the first day of school in P1 3 years ago, if you don't believe everything that your children tell you about what happens in my class, I won't believe everything they tell me about what happens at home. Similarly, when it comes to charismatic religious preachers like Jesus, skepticism is always welcome. To be religious, it's not necessary to believe 6 impossible things before breakfast, as the White Queen encouraged Alice to do in her Adventures in Wonderland. So if children and adults are apt to be duplicitous with the truth, and subsequently have their claims treated with suspicion, what is it then? What is it that scratched the memory of my family's disbelief so deeply into my soul that it has stayed so vivid for almost half a century? I suspect the answer is similar to the frustration Jesus felt so greatly when he wasn't believed, so greatly that his frustration was recorded so vividly for all eternity in the Bible. "I have told you," said Jesus, "but you do not believe." It is not so much that people didn't believe Jesus, and not so much that my family didn't believe me. It is that in doubting what we knew for certain to be true, people were not so much raising an eyebrow at what we were asking them to believe, but more that we felt that they did not believe in us. In doubting that I had seen Mars that evening, it was not so much that my family disbelieved what I claimed to have seen that upset me, but that they didn't believe in me as someone who was honest. I felt that they thought that as a person, I was a liar. There's a difference between believing someone and believing in them. And the difference between these two things, believing someone and believing in them, can be reduced to one word: love. If you are one of the depressingly few people living in Scotland who have already completed the census, and here's me doing my civic duty, if you haven't completed the census, go home, not now, after the service, and do so. If you're one of the few people living in Scotland who have already completed the census, you will know that it asks questions about your sexuality, whether you're heterosexual or homosexual, for example. And for the first time, it also asks questions about the difference between your sex at birth and your gender now. That is, whether you are transgender. Whatever your sex at birth, you can select male or female when you complete the census without the need for a gender recognition certificate. It's not an uncontroversial question. The right to self-identity in this way has caused much debate and provokes much anger. But what is for certain is that at the heart of this question's inclusion is the decision by the Scottish Government not just to believe that some people's gender and their sex at birth might differ, but to believe in those people who feel and so claim that such a difference affects them. By including this question, the government isn't just saying that it believes some people feel that their sex and gender are different, it is saying they believe in them as people who are transgender. As the census guidance says when it asks the question, "Are you male or female?" if you are transgender, the answer you give can be different from what is on your birth certificate. You do not need a gender recognition certificate. For people who are transgender, their frustration is not so much caused by people who don't believe them when they say that their sex at birth and their gender differ, but because when they are not believed, they feel that their very identity is being called into question. They are not being believed in. For Jesus, his frustration was not so much caused by people who kept asking for more proof that he was the Messiah, but by always asking for more proof, people were questioning his identity, who he believed he was. They didn't believe in him. When my family questioned my claim to have seen Mars, it wasn't so much that they disputed my claim. That occurred often as a child, probably rightly, but that I felt they didn't believe in me as an honest person. There is a difference between believing in someone and believing something that they have said or claim that they or a claim that they have made, and that difference is love. The reason that transgender people are so jubilant that the guidance was as it was in the census is because it is an acknowledgement that the Scottish state recognises them and knows them. That is to say, loves them. The reason I was so upset at being called a liar was because at the time, as a 9-year-old, it made me wonder whether my family loved me. In the Gospel of John, belief in Jesus and love for Jesus are intrinsically linked. We heard Jesus say this morning in our reading, "My deeds done in my Father's name are my credentials, but because you are not sheep of my flock, you do not believe." Elsewhere in the Gospel of John, he says, "Love one another as I have loved you. If there is love among you, then all will know that you are my disciples." Those who love Jesus and who love each other are his disciples, sheep of his flock, and they believe in him. This morning, we have given that connection between believing in someone and loving them expression when we baptized Olivia. When we baptized Olivia, we assured her and reminded ourselves that even at this tender age, she is nevertheless loved by God and loved by us. That God and we love her does not mean that we will or that we should believe everything that she tells us as she grows up. What this baptism does mean, though, this baptism when we remind ourselves that she is loved by God and by us, is that if she is to flourish in this world, then she must be believed in by her parents, by her friends, and by her wider community. And know that God believes in her too, that who she is as a person is worthy of respect, dignity, and love, no matter the nonsense that might come out of her mouth when she comes home from school on her first day in primary one. Jesus Christ isn't asking anyone to believe the ridiculous or the impossible. What he does ask is for people to believe in him, that his life, which in this Easter season we celebrate as living on in this world through his body on earth, the church, that his life, if followed and its dignity respected, that his life of creating a community bound together by love can transform our lives, can transform your life, and so transform the world, such that everyone, the world over, Olivia, you, and everyone else, will experience the opportunity of living life in all its fullness. There is no limit to what human beings can achieve in the field of human flourishing when we believe in them as people who can love each other. Believe in Olivia as a person worthy of love, and she will flourish. Believe in those who say they are transgender as people who are worthy of love, and much of the heat will go out of the debate. Believe in Jesus' commandment to love, and you will flourish, and not just you. Once you start loving others and believing in them, they too will flourish, and the people of the world will all live lives in all their fullness. Now to the one who can keep you from falling and set you in the presence of his glory, jubilant and above reproach, to the only God, our Saviour, be glory and majesty, power and authority, through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all time, now and forevermore. Amen. We sing hymn number 557, O Love That Will Not Let Me Go, hymn 557. At this point in the service, we dedicate our offering of that which we give back to God through his church to nurture the growth of his kingdom. As you leave, there is an opportunity to make your offering in the boxes provided. Remembering all that the church receives, whether on Sunday mornings or electronically or in any other way at any other time, we acknowledge that we give in thankfulness with gratitude and joy. With prayerfulness, we give in sacrifice and love. With a spirit of hopefulness, we give in commitment to God in the person of Jesus Christ our Lord. Led by the choir, we sing a blessing using the response in the order of service, hymn 766, Hallelujah, to a Ukrainian chant. Our prayers of thanksgiving, lament, and intercession are led by our ministry student, Sharuk.
Let us now give thanks for our blessings and bring the needs of the church, the world, and all who are weary and heavy laden into God's loving care. Let us pray. God of abundant life, we thank you for this world which you created that meets all of our needs. We pray, giving you heartfelt thanks for its beauty, its life, power, and majesty. A thing so great and yet so vulnerable. We thank you for our role as stewards over the earth. We rejoice in seas, mountains, lakes, forests, and gardens, all gifts from you to be enjoyed and cared for. Lord, we thank you for the living water that renews us. We are grateful for your blessings which overflow inside us. Young or old, we are all your children, and you unite us in faith and love. Thank you for the fellowship of believers, the Catholic and Apostolic Church, and for all our brothers and sisters who are extensions of your love to us. We are grateful for the support of those who uphold us. We pray for our families and our congregational family, that we can encourage one another in our prayers and keep alive the passion we have for our faith. We pray for our purpose here as we reach out lovingly into our community. Lord, when we face any struggles, you do not forsake us. You go before us and bring us comfort and peace. Yet in these times, we remember those who experience very little peace in their lives. We remember those who are victims of military aggression and political ideology. We pray for those indoctrinated and blind. In these times of fake news, misinformation, and sensationalist media, help us speak the truth in this world that is starved of your word. Lord, we ask for your wisdom for the people in governance, especially those in Scotland and the UK after the elections. We pray for those who will be most affected, people in pain and poverty, facing danger and fear, and those vulnerable people who are exploited and have grown hopeless. We bring them before you, Lord. In a moment of silence, we reflect on those who you know, who are in need of God's love today. Lord, give us, we pray, the courage as individuals and communities to bring love and life and light into this world. Eternal God, we give thanks to you for the great community of faith to which you have brought us, for those who have kept safe our scriptures, gathered our songs, built our sanctuaries, and taught us to know and trust you. Grant us grace in our day to live as faithfully as they did, and to provide as generously for our children, until you bring us with all your people into the fullness of your eternal joy. Through Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. Amen.
People of God, go out into the world to follow Jesus Christ in love, peace, and merciful justice. Be shepherded by the word of God and guided by God's Spirit of holiness. We sing hymn number 251, I, the Lord of Sea and Sky, hymn 251. blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you all.